The only place for sports talk of the upstate is right here, every day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here on a Friday with Faxon and John on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. A couple more texts to read off on the Braves, and then we've got college football and National Football League to talk about in the remaining hour plus of the program. We'd love to hear from you at 654-ROAR. Definitely some college football stuff to get to for certain. But John, a couple texts to get to on the Braves as we wrap things up. Texter says, thanks, guys. I think having that information helps to pinpoint better what the problems are. AA is still a big part of it, but it's not because we're unwilling to spend money. It's that we spent money on guys that aren't performing up to those contracts. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I responded that I think it's almost a weird pigeonholing type of situation because, like, the maximum amount of money that you're going to be willing to spend every year in free agency is hard capped because you already have a ton of dollar signs that are accounted for on a year-to-year basis on your sheets. So, like, headed into next year, for example, I know that the Braves fans are going to want the Braves to sign some lucrative contract for some big free agent. I don't even know who's up on the market. I'm in football mode before I'm in MLB free agency mode. But you've got a couple contracts coming off the books this year. You're going to accept that club option for sale for $18 million. Ozuna and Iglesias and Montero combined, that's $45 million coming off your books. Then, on top of that, I think they're going to decline Ozzie Albies' $7 million club option. So that could be $7 million more. Pierce Johnson has a $7 million club option. To be frank, I think you can do better for that dollar sign. So I would probably decline that as well. And then you've got a couple other guys like Verdugo is going to be a free agent, so he'll be off the books. De Los Santos, Kelnick, Lee, and White with Nick Allen, Elder, Schwelly, A.J. Smith-Shawver, Grant Holmes, Drake Baldwin. All of those guys are going to be pre-arb or arbitration one or arbitration two. So you're going to be able to keep all of those guys for a fairly affordable dollar sign. And then you've got your big ticket items, which would be Olsen and Riley at $22 million a pop, $18 million for Sale, $17 million for Acuna, pending extension if it comes, $20 for Strider, $15 for Murphy, $14 for Lopez, could be a trade candidate this offseason, $8 for Harris, $9 for Jimenez, I would trade or cut. And then 15 for Profar next year. Goodness gracious. And 9.5 for Bummer. Yeah, the Braves are going to have to make some moves to free up some money this offseason and probably make some big-time roster changes when related to the bullpen because some of those dollar signs are just way too high. But that's kind of where the Braves are at. I think you guys kind of see why it's difficult to make, number one, make trades at the trade deadline because everybody's on a long-term contract and you don't want to part ways with those guys, as Anthopoulos has stated. And then on top of that, you're never going to be the guy that goes and signs Bryce Harper or Juan Soto to the mega deal. It just isn't going to happen. Don't set yourself up to get hurt in free agency every year. The Braves are going to make Jurickson and Profar-esque signings each and every offseason cycle where you're going to add one guy at a position of need, he's going to be a good player, and you're probably going to have to overpay a little bit to get him. So that's where I'm at right now on Atlanta with the money spending. You can win with the amount of money Atlanta is spending, but your players have to perform to their contract valuation in order to do such, and that's been the crux of the issue for Atlanta thus far this season. John, let's talk some college football and let's talk some NFL here on the Roar. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. We've been going back and forth this week on a couple topics in the college football world. I think we're both kind of internally starting to shift our sports calendar, if you will, mentally. Football season's right around the corner, folks, and once we get into July, we're going to have a ton of preview content for you. But we did an hour and a half of college football yesterday, and looking forward to doing some more college football here today, John.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking college football from now until, well, we never stop really talking about it. It's a year-round conversation. So I've been working on a little document, and it's a very original concept. So I'm going to walk it out, right? And it's titled something that no one has ever used in sports radio before. Fact or fiction? Oh, wow. We're getting creative. We're getting original here. In all seriousness, I just thought this would be a good way to kind of start wading into the waters of college football and starting to kind of figure out where, just, you know, I was perusing some of these preview magazines, some of these win totals, some of these odds list, and all these different things. So I just thought it'd come with some interesting talking points and, you know, fact or fiction. And 654 Roar, if you would like to get in and agree or disagree with some of these topics in which we're going to present. And I'm going to pick one here. We've got quite a few here, but I want to start out with one that seemed to have gotten a lot of attention over the course of this offseason. A player who is getting a lot of praise and a lot of credit for work that has yet to be done. We even have the old ball coach coming out and giving quotes this week, which just, we need more old ball coach quotes. We need more Steve Spurrier quotes.
We do.
And I'm talking about the starting quarterback at the University of Texas, Arch Manning. Facts in fact or fiction? Arch Manning doesn't make the first, second, or third team all-SEC team.
Ooh. This is tough. So the first, second, or the third team.
Correct.
I'm going to say fact. I think Arch Manning is going to miss the all-SEC teams this season. I do. I'm not low on Arch. I want to make that abundantly clear. But I also saw what Cade Klubnik looked like as a first-year starter playing really good competition. And I also saw what Cade Klubnik looked like as a first-year starter with not a great supporting cast around him. Now, the situation's a little bit different for Arch Manning. I would think that that supporting cast is vastly better than what Klubnik had at Clemson. But the schedule is also vastly more difficult playing in the SEC and playing some higher-quality opponents. With to further that point, Arch did get thrown into the fire to an extent, but Cade had multiple games of extended experience, including a conference championship game and a bowl game, both against ranked opponents. We haven't seen as much of an extended sample size as I would like to see for Arch to throw him into these Heisman Trophy conversations, which I think are ridiculous, by the way. I get why he's there. It's Manning. It's Texas. They're going to be in the playoff. I get it. I'm not 100% sold yet. I am a long-term investor in Arch Manning. I am not a this-year investor in Arch Manning. I think he's going to be a really good player in a year or two. I don't know if he's a really good player right now, John, and with some of the influx that the SEC saw at quarterback in the transfer portal and with some of these guys making moves throughout the course of the offseason and right. A guy like Pavia coming back, this is a really talent-rich quarterback league this year in comparison to what it typically is, because if we're being honest, the one thing the ACC can always usually have over the ACC has better quarterbacks pretty consistently. SEC hasn't been known for their quarterbacks in the last handful of years, so I do think it's an improved crop this year of QBs compared to typical years.
And you know what? Texter 6094 basically got in. I was going to say, give me your three for the all-SEC teams this year. Not necessarily in this order. Actually, you know what? I will give my order here. I think the first team all-SEC quarterback this year is going to be Lenore Sellers.
Ooh, I like it.
I think number two will be Garrett Nussmeier, and three will be DJ Lagway.
I might get booed off the air here.
I just said Lenore Sellers was going to be the best quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. How can you do anything more egregious than that?
That is true. I've got a wild card that I want to throw in the ring, and me and Austin on the text line are thinking a similar ideology, and I'm going to fall for the freaking trap again with this stupid team, and I'm just going to have to do it. I will say this. I am going to take Sellers as one of the three. I'm not going to give an order, but if
That's
I had
fair.
If I had to give an order, I'd probably go Lagway 1, Sellers 2, something like that, 1A, 1B. I love those guys, man. Those guys can freaking play. Sellers is such a good player. Nussmeier's got to be a part of this conversation. Mateer has got to be a part of this conversation as a dark horse, but that's not where I'm going with my third spot. I'm going to College Station for my third spot, and I am buying...
Oh, brother.
I know. This is why I said I was going to get booed off the air. Everybody's selling stock right now. I think that this is more of a Mike Elko belief for me than a Marcel Reed belief. And I know that he's not an offensive mind. And I know that his OC has more of a fingerprints on the offense and Reed's success than Elko does. But there's something about that guy as a leader that I really just want to gravitate towards. And I believe in him. I believe in Mike Elko, and I think he's the coach that can get Texas A&M to the playoff. I'm not going to come out here and say anything ludicrous. I'm also not making a playoff prediction for this year on June 27th because we've got the kickoff show in 2 months to do that, and you can join us live and get that in person, which you should because it's awesome every year. But, John, I am tentatively starting to buy some Marcel Reed stock that he could be in those conversations, and I also think it's worth acknowledging the talent level of a guy like John Mateer. However, year one in a new league could be a little lights too brighty for him. We'll see what happens.
Only year in a new league.
Yes.
Only year of eligibility. So, in terms of your Texas A&M take, we are going to beef about this for the next 2 months. I like Mike Elko, the program leader. I think that there's more of a restrictor plate at A&M than maybe we realize. Because there's been, 100 something years of football being played there, and they basically just go 8-4 every year.
Yeah.
But Colin Klein year two calling that offense.
Right.
In College Station, you're not going back and forth between Wegman and Reed.
Yes.
I think my issue is I don't think Marcel Reed has a very high ceiling.
Yeah.
And with his skills, with his skill set, like there's multiple other quarterbacks in the league that I would take over Marcel Reed. So it's not that I'm just like I like the hire. I think they actually hired a football coach and not just a fast talking man from West Virginia who's trying to accumulate wealth. And I like Colin Klein, and I think Marcel Reed has a skill set to do it. I just don't know. Like Casey Concepcion, for example, supposed to be like wide receiver one in College Station this year. I may be only one of the few people around here who doesn't think that's a very good thing for either party involved.
He's kind of a gimmick player. He's really good, but he's kind of a guy that you have to have get the ball in the right area of the field to make a big impact on the game.
I just, like, last year was so disappointing when it came to him for me.
And the
entire NC State thing was a walking disappointment last year. I understand that. But he was awful.
Yeah.
And just, like, his head, he was checked out. He was already, you could tell by October, he was thinking about his NIL check he was going to get in December.
Right.
I need to see some substance put together by Texas A&M. A little bit more. Before I buy in. They're not as egregious of a I will not buy into them no matter what preseason team like Miami is.
Yeah.
But they're like Miami light for me when it comes to this time of the year. Like, there's so many reasons why A&M should work annually.
Right. Like, they always have good line of scrimmage play. The skill position players, you always have five stars, yet they never end up being good, which is a weird dynamic that I've never understood.
Like, even the Johnny Manziel team went like 9-4 when he won the Heisman.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
They're allergic to 10 wins.
Very much so. So I just, and I know we kind of spun into A&M, they're talking about, you know, the SEC quarterback rankings, but I will say I didn't really give a take on Arch. I like the skill set. I think the tools are certainly there.
He's a good player.
But I kind of agree with Steve Spurrier. If he's the next chosen one, why in the world could he not beat out an injury-riddled seventh-round pick? I think that's a fair question from the ball coach. If we're already giving him the best odds to win the Heisman Trophy, and we're already giving him the best odds to go 1-1 in the NFL draft next year, which is ridiculous, because he has, what, two starts against Mississippi State and Louisiana Monroe?
Right.
I just think it's nuts how quick we are going all this, and I think it's a fair question to ask if he couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers last year, who was physically limited, who could not throw the football all that well.
I was going to say, they put up 13 points in the SEC championship game, and they had every opportunity to hook Quinn Ewers, and Ewers was laboring, man. I know he played decent against Clemson, and I know he gutted it out against Arizona State. For what it's worth, I gained a lot of respect for Quinn Ewers this season for gutting it out through that injury and still finding a way to succeed in spite of that injury. But he did not play very well for multiple extended portions of the season, to the point where the first rendition of the Georgia game, Sark chucked Arch in there. And guess what? He sucked.
Yeah.
The lights were way too bright for him, and he did not have any business being on that field against a team like the Georgia Bulldogs.
So where do they open this season? At Ohio State.
Exactly. Yeah. This is why I'm selling this, because Texter got in and was like, who do they play? They're at Ohio State week one, bro. That's a tough game. At the defending national champions, Big Noon kickoff on Fox. That's Arch's first real big boy start of his career. This ain't Mississippi State. This is the defending national champions.
All right, here we go. Texas win game.
Okay.
Here we go. At Ohio State.
That's a loss.
I think Caleb's down. Caleb Downs could take his lunch money.
Yeah, I do too.
San Jose State at home.
That's a win.
UTEP at home.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Yeah, that's a win. That's a win.
Sam Houston at home.
That's a win. I respect Sark. You know what? You play the defending national champions, I'll give you that. I'm not going to go full-blown Michigan claws on Sarkisian. They deserve that after playing those first three.
So 3-1, bye week at Florida.
You better be careful, man. I actually think Billy Napier's got himself a little team down there in Gainesville this year,
John.
A
lot of people do.
I think that the reason I'm tentatively buying Florida, not to get on topic, is the same reason that we saw South Carolina have success last year, which is if you're just good enough around your great quarterback, having the best player on the field is going to win you a couple of games by proxy. And that's what happened to South Carolina last year. Guess what? Beamer got outcoached by Drink. Didn't matter. Lenora Sellers was special. They trailed the whole game against Clemson. Didn't matter. Lenora Sellers was special. I think DJ Lagway pulls a few of those out of his hat this year, and I think one of those might be the Texas game. I'm going to give half a win for now. So I'm going to go 3.5.
Red River against Oklahoma.
I'm going to give Texas the dub there.
All right, 4.5 at Kentucky.
I'm going to give them the dub.
5.5 at Mississippi State.
That's a win.
6.5 hosting Vanderbilt.
I'll go with the win there as well.
Bye week with 7.5 wins at Georgia, going between the hedges.
I can't pick a first-year starting quarterback on the road against a UGA team. He looked terrible in limited action against. And also, like, it is recency bias. Georgia beat him twice last year. I got to see it to believe it with Sark over Kirby. Give me the dogs in this one.
So if it's a team on the road and in Athens, they're not going to win. So congrats, Georgia. You're automatically, at least the floor is 8 wins because you don't go on the road at all. Then they host Arkansas.
That's going to be a win.
Then they host Texas A&M.
I think they win that one against A&M in the closer. They got A&M last year
so
in the closer.
So what, you got them, what, 9-3, 10-2?
Yeah, in that range. I think 9.5. And listen, like when I look at the game, I think Texas is going to be the 9-3 SEC team that gets into the expanded playoff. It's probably where I'm at. And you know what? They're going to be good enough to do it, and they're going to have the preseason billing and the hype, and it's going to be nauseating, and they're going to get every excuse by the committee, and they're probably going to backdoor in that sucker at 9-3. That's probably where I'm at right now, John. I think Ohio State's a big fat L. I got to say this. I'm holding my right to reserve my claims on Texas football after the Week 0 result, because if they beat Ohio State, we need to change the narrative and change the opinions on this team. And obviously, we've got 2 months until that game comes, and we'll break it down, you know, prior and after, as we always do here on The Roar. But that's a big game for narratives. That's a big game for optics. That's a big game for where you're lying in that first college football playoff ranking, because that's going to be used against you in 6-7 weeks. It's going to be like, oh, well, Texas is 6-1, and they've rattled off all these wins, but they did lose to Ohio State, so now they're the 9 seed. There's a lot on the line in that game. There's a lot on the line in that game. So looking forward to that big noon kickoff. We'll continue to talk some SEC football with some more topics on the other side of a short break. Keep getting in with us on the phone and text line at 654-ROAR.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Dominion Senior Living at Patrick Square Clemson offers luxury, assisted living, and memory care options. Dominion is proud of its staff who are experienced in geriatric care and aging. Staff who can help navigate the difficult decisions on how to prepare for the care your loved ones need the most. Call today to find out more and schedule a tour. 864-760-8968. Visit us online at DominionSeniorLiving.com.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, for folks that want to learn more about working at Snyder Tree Care, how do they reach you? What's the best way to go about this?
We're easy to find. You can get us online at schneidertree.com. That's schneidertree.com. Or call us, the office number, 864-244-3088. Online's probably the best way. You can fill out an application there or come by the office. If you want to work with us, we'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
On Friday's little show, we're going to have a lot of fun. We will be breaking down night two, round two of the NBA draft. A lot of Braves talk as they transition from the Mets into the weekend. We will discuss lots of college football topics, quarterbacks, ACC, coaching, you name it, we got it. Plus, whatever else might ensue, there's always going to be some hilarity on a Friday. You know when to find us, High Noon, and you know where to find us, right here on The Roar.
For a lot of us, saving up a down payment can be the biggest barrier to buying a home. So Rocket Mortgage is lowering down payments to 1% for eligible home buyers with One Plus. Because everyone deserves their shot at the American dream. Call 800-4-ROCKET or visit rocket.com to get a head start on your starter home.
Rocket Mortgage, LLC. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Adam Schefter here for Vivid Seats, your ultimate destination for all your sports and concert needs this summer. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of tickets, they make it easy for every fan to watch their favorite teams and players in action. Catch every home run and thrilling comeback in person from your favorite seat. Plus, every ticket is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The only place in the upstate to catch Atlanta Braves games is right here on The Roar.
Fly ball deep right!
Jansen, here's the 0-2.
Got him! Holy smoke!
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports. Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. 482, looks like a Gamecock fan getting in saying, what a difference the year makes, because last time this year you guys had South Carolina buried. If I didn't believe in Sellers in the roster, I do concerned about all the optimism around South Carolina. At least I still have Jason in Columbia and really cute talking about 5-7 to 7-5. Listen, you exceeded expectations last year. You have the right to talk your noise for the remainder of the offseason. I think John and I, like, I think I had 6-6 for Carolina last year. But I will say this. Don't let South Carolina overperforming team success last year get what John and I said twisted about Sellers, because we both banged the drum for Sellers all offseason and said he was going to be a star. That was the one thing I was confident about South Carolina last year, was that Rocket was going to be really good and that Sellers was going to be really good. My question was at wide receiver and in the passing game, and they were able to get really creative. And, you know, John, if we're being honest,
I also didn't think they'd have one of like the five best defenses right in the country.
I was going to say, if we're being honest, have we ever seen a bigger pendulum swing on two coordinators on the same staff from a fan base in one season than what we saw on Loggins and Clayton White in the same year?
To me, it's more about Clayton White.
Yeah.
I think we always there were some reservations about Dowell Loggins, the offensive mind, just because you had the NFL history where he was the coordinator of the Browns and the Jets, but I think that was more of having to coordinate the Browns and the Jets than it was to his lack of an offensive mind. I mean, obviously, he did very good things without an offensive line for Spencer Rattler. You know, I thought that he did a lot of good work with Rattler. I think he's clearly did a lot of good work with Sellers last year. I'm very curious now what it looks like without him there. But I was floored at the time that Beamer didn't replace Clayton White. Floored.
Yeah.
A decision that has come back to make me look entirely wrong and him completely right. Like, I never would have thought that Kyle Kennard was a nice player at Georgia Tech. I never thought you'd have him be, like, the defensive lineman of the year.
They were loaded, dude. Right. They put like six dudes in the league off that
defense.
Nine
undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that they have to replace. So we'll get into the Gamecock stuff later on. But, yeah, no, I that was probably the team last year from the preseason going into the season that I was the most wrong about. I thought we were going to have another situation where you were going to be scratching and clawing to find bowl eligibility, and then it was going to be hot seat conversation for Shane Beamer. I could not have been more wrong. Could not have been more wrong. It exceeded expectations in ways I didn't think they were going to be able to. Should have beat LSU.
Yeah, they should have if it wasn't for that stupid
penalty. Out of all
penalty.
The 9-3 SEC teams that people were campaigning for, they campaigned for the wrong one. South Carolina had the best resume.
Yeah.
They didn't have an ugly loss to Vanderbilt like Alabama did. They didn't have an ugly loss to Kentucky like Ole Miss did. Their losses were to Alabama and Ole Miss.
Yeah. Ole Miss game was weird. I still will maintain
Sellers was hurt in that game.
He was, and then Beamer screwed it early with the... What, you remember the fake punt on like their own 20 and essentially just donated Ole Miss a touchdown lead to start the game, and then they could just never get anything going.
Right.
That was a weird game. South Carolina exceeded all expectations last year, and they deserve a little bit of respect headed into this year in comparison to what their roster may indicate where they're at. But, John, it does feel worth acknowledging. And, again, these things are not perfect because it was the same thing last year. Their win total is 5.5. So Vegas thinks they're going to be underdogs in just about half their games they play this year. Looking at their schedule, I think they're probably going to be a little bit better than their win total. I would be in the 7-5 to 8-4 range. Again, that's not trying to be disrespectful of Gamecock fans. You lost legitimately five NFL players and like good NFL players off of one defensive unit. You were able to retain Stewart. You were able to retain a couple other key contributors on both sides of the football. But John, you brought up something on South Carolina that we were discussing during the break, which might be my biggest qualm with the team right now. And it was something Gamecock James called in 2 days ago and asked about. Rasul Faison still does not have a decision from the NCAA on whether he will be eligible to play for the Gamecocks this season. And if he is not eligible, that running back room gets a lot weaker overnight.
Yes, if Faison does not get the waiver, then you're having a running back room of Auguste of the Colorado transfer, Bradley Dunn, Jawarn Howell, Matthew Fuller, and Oscar Attaway III.
Yeah, that's a big drop-off from Rocket. It's not bad, but it's a big drop-off from Rocket.
It's going to be a lot of running back by committee, even if Faison's cleared
right.
And gets the waiver. It's still going to be more committee. There's no one in that room that is built like Rocket Sanders that could carry the load like Rocket Sanders could for this team last year. But I also believe you don't need someone to be as much of a bell cow as Rocket Sanders was last year. One, you have the quarterback run game, and two, with Shula now being the offensive coordinator, in another year of Mazio Bennett, and we saw a little bit of Nick Harbor for the first time in his career. I mean, yes, you have to replace Josh Simon and figure out what to do with your kind of check down guy at tight end. But I think there's going to be a lot more passing of the football in Columbia this fall than there was last year. I think this is the year where you expect Lenore Sellers to take a step as a passer.
Yeah.
To grow and to not be relying on 20 plus carries a game for Rocket Sanders. Like, I think you would want to maybe, you know, split that out across a couple of backs and then try to throw it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You want to grow him as a passer in this offense.
I think that's multifaceted as well, because I think on the same tangent, are we going to get a Nick Harbor breakout year? Is it going to come? Is he a football player? Is he a track star? He showed some signs of life last year.
He gave up track. He is done doing track. This is the first spring ball that he has gone through. This is the first summer that he has spent with the football team not running track.
Is this the year? Is this the year we
see? He's putting the work in for this to be the year. I don't know if I am going to claim that this is the year where he is a breakout wide receiver in the SEC, but you've seen him take some strides. You've seen him get better.
Mazio,
I am still very impressed with what you got out of Mazio Bennett as a true freshman. I think that can grow. So can you find a third option, and really tight end is probably as much last year as Lenore Sellers would check it down to Josh Simon, and as much of a matchup issue as he was. You know, that's probably one of my bigger issues with the South Carolina offense.
Yeah.
Is how do you replace Josh Simon?
And then I think the big question mark that even Gamecock fans would agree with, and really what's going to dictate this team's season, does the offensive line take a step forward as a unit? Because that was the thing that hindered them from being as good as they could have been last year. And granted, the line up front exceeded all expectations considering what their talent and experience level appeared to be in the preseason. And once again, that's why it's the preseason. You're speculating for the most part. But headed into this upcoming season, rather, after last year, you're expecting a guy like Josiah Thompson to take the leap at left tackle. You're expecting a guy like, Tree at left guard to take the leap and become a better player and a more physical player. You pick up a transfer center. You're expecting Cason Henry, Trovon Baugh on the right side. Those guys are into their redshirt junior and junior years, respectively. That was the big thing, John, last year, if you remember, was, is that O-line old enough? Are they experienced enough? There are no excuses now. A lot of these guys got to start a full starting year of SEC experience under their belt and held their own. That's a way that you can mask, in my opinion, for the departure of Rocket Sanders, provided that you do have Faison, or even if you don't have Faison in the mix, is if your O-line's clearing better holes up front, and if your O-line's blocking at a higher level, then inherently speaking, your running back doesn't matter as much. If the holes are wider, anybody can run through them. So if the big boys take the step that we have been sold that they're going to take, because that's been the whole thing of this whole South Carolina rebuild under Beamer, was look at how he's recruiting the O-line. We've just got to develop them. We've got to get these kids a little bit older. This feels like the year for that unit as a whole in totality, John, to take a big step forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I liked what Josiah Thompson gave you as a true freshman as a left tackle last year. I think that he... Out of those big three in-state recruits, obviously Pringle is now off at Syracuse. Franks, I don't know if and when he will ever see the field, but I think Thompson was an absolute home run land for the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
I think having your returning starters at both tackles, listen, we've talked about it in the spring and summer. We will continue to talk about it all summer, how big it is for Clemson that you have Tristan Lee and Blake Miller returning. Well, the same can be said for South Carolina, having both of their tackles back for another year. I think that is very big for the growth of Lenore Sellers.
I agree.
Keeping a lot of those pieces intact up front. Yes, the interior, it's some new faces there, but I like how the tackles are the same. I think that is a very good sign for the growth of this offense.
You have continuity at wide receiver. You have continuity at on your offensive line. You have continuity at quarterback. And you have a running back room that has experience and hopefully will be gaining more in Faison for South Carolina's sake. Now, the last thing we'll say on the Gamecocks before we shift gears to other college football topics would be replacing that production on the defense. And we can talk all we want about the offense and what the question marks are there. Texter gets in and kind of perfectly articulates the point that I was going to make, which is if Carolina wants to exceed expectations this year on the offense, the offensive side of the ball needs to carry the defense early, similar how the defense carried the offense until Sellers figured it out. I agree with this. You have 8-9 returning starters on your offense and a quarterback that's being billed as a top 5 quarterback in the country, which I believe to probably be fair and accurate with that assessment. Your offense has got to go ham at the start of the season. They do, because South Carolina doesn't have an easy schedule by any means. It's not like some world-beating schedule that's going to be impossible to overcome, like some SEC fans would lead you to believe. But it is a good schedule, and there are games that could get tricky. And I will say this, like, I don't think they're going to lose the game. It's not a gimme layup, roll out the ball, we're going to win it by 40 and on a neutral site game against Virginia Tech. That's not a roll the ball out game, even if we don't think Virginia Tech's going to be very good, because I don't. But that's a game that's... You don't want to drop that one and put yourself in the hole. Let me put it like that. You need to come out and do what Clemson did to Georgia Tech 2-3 years ago with DJ in his final year as a starter at Clemson and beat him 41-10 or something like that and set the tone. And that's what hoping wouldn't be the right word, because I'll be rooting for the Hokies. But if South Carolina is as good as they think they're going to be this year, they should handle Virginia Tech. I tend to believe that those week one games can get tricky regardless of what the quality of your team looks like down the stretch. Because FSU had a couple bad teams that ended up beating those LSU teams because Brian Kelly choked a couple games in that week zero matchup.
Yeah, I have no faith in this Virginia Tech team or program. You've got to get your wins early. You need to be 5-0 going to LSU with wins over Virginia Tech, SC State, Vanderbilt, at Missouri, and Kentucky at home. You need to have all of those under your belt.
Oh, yeah.
Because after the bye week.
Oh, my gosh.
At LSU, Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home, at Ole Miss.
And then bye week at Texas A&M, Coastal, and Clemson. Oh, my gosh.
Got to get your five early. And I think that they will. But this is a situation here where you can't drop the game at Missouri. You cannot afford to drop the game at Missouri.
Yeah. That's going to put you behind
the eight ball. I think Kentucky's going to be atrocious. I think Vanderbilt, I think Diego Pavia is doing too much talking this offseason, and everyone's going to be aware of what they are. But you have to win at Missouri. That is as must-win of a must-win is, in terms of, especially in league play. Because I'm hearing a lot of good things about LSU. We're hearing a lot of optimism. I'm talking about right now on the Adams Cooper Fink text line. A lot of optimism about Oklahoma. Some optimism about Alabama. So, especially in week one against Florida State. And I think there's some people who feel pretty good about Ole Miss this year. And we have a lot of people who think Texas A&M is a national title contender. So, it's going to be tough to find wins there.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of those games, you have the quarterback advantage. Outside of maybe LSU. You have the quarterback advantage in pretty much every league game.
Yeah, I would say, but rolling through the schedule, that's probably accurate. Yeah, he's definitely better than whoever Alabama's rolling out there. I know that for certain.
So, got to get the wins early because you're going to take some losses in October and into November. But if you're 5-0 out of that stretch, you get one of the rest of the ones in October. Hey, man, 7-5, 8-4 is right there in play for sure.
Yeah, and once again, this is going to be six ranked teams in the last seven games of your season, more than likely. Provided that LSU, Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, TAMU, and Clemson all stay in the rankings, that's what you're staring down the barrel of. And I hope that the South Carolina fans are rational enough to realize that me saying 7-5, 8-4 is not a diss by any means. I actually think that would be a very successful season considering you could, in theory, be playing three or four of the top 10 teams in the country in the last 7 weeks of your season. That's a very realistic avenue for this South Carolina team, is you're going to have to play three or four top 10 teams in the last 7 weeks of your season. And I would say that about any team, that you're prone to drop a couple of those. If Clemson had to go on the road to Ole Miss and Texas A&M back-to-back, you might drop one of those, right? That's not disrespectful to say that. I just think there are going to be a couple games where Carolina gets got. I think it's fair to say from an objective standpoint that the team's probably not as good or talented as it was last year, but it is still good enough and talented enough to get to a bowl game at minimum. You're going to have the best player on the field in the majority of games, as we've referenced with Sellers, and he gives you a floor and a chance in every game. South Carolina wasn't as good as Clemson last year, roster for roster. Sellers made special plays when it mattered the most. You got outplayed by Mizzou in your place. Did it matter? Nope, because your quarterback led you on a game-winning drive that was unbelievably heroic. When you have a guy like that, you're never out of a game. But yeah, 7-5, 8-4 in that range is where I'm at right now, John. We'll shift gears to some more teams and maybe hit some NFL and stuff as well in the upcoming segment. Had a couple texts in on the Panthers. Maybe we'll save that for the final hour of the program because I'm the biggest Carolina Panthers fan east of the Mississippi, if you've heard that, because all their fans east of the Mississippi hate them and don't believe in them. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. We're continuing to talk some college ball and some National Football League on the other side with Faxon and John.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
It's bow time. Introducing Bojangles' new Breakfast Burrito. It's your favorite crispy bow rounds, savory sausage, fluffy eggs, cheese, and southern gravy all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. But hurry, it's here for a limited time.
It's bow time.
Poor indoor air quality can significantly decrease your quality of life through experiencing sinus infections, allergies, respiratory issues, and headaches. An easy-to-install device called UV PhotoMax uses purifying blue light to zap bacteria, mold, and viruses before they enter your home's air vents. Purify the air your family breathes and help protect them from mold, bacteria, and viruses with the UV PhotoMax from Estes Heating and Air. Serving Oconee, Pickens, Greenville, and surrounding areas. Visit ESTESHeatingAir.com today for more information.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Mourning the loss of a loved one can be painful. If your loved one dies due to the negligence of someone else, you need someone by your side to help get you justice. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you navigate a wrongful death lawsuit. Nick and his staff are here to help you through every step of the legal process. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com.
Beat the heat with unbeatable takes. This is The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment, hour number two here on The Roar with Faxon and John. You're listening to Facts on Sports on 105.5, 97.5 at The Roar. The phone number, if you want to get in with us on the phone lines or the Adams Go Roofing text line, is 654-ROAR. We're breaking down college football. We're talking SEC, playing a little fact or fiction, hopping around the Southeastern Conference, talking teams, schedules, and more. John, I think we've really ran through all about there is to run through on the South Carolina topic. Anything to tie the knot on that before we shift gears in the world of college football?
No, I've got another fact or fiction here for you.
Okay.
Based on the positivity we are receiving on the text line, we got Walt Deptula out here tweeting about it this morning. So everybody is kind of thinking to some agreement here. Fact or fiction. Texas A&M goes 10-2 with one of the wins being against Texas.
Ooh. I'm going to say fiction. I'm going to say fiction, and I like Texas A&M. I want that on the record. I like Texas A&M this year. I love the lines of scrimmage play specifically. I don't know if they're good enough to beat Texas, and maybe good enough isn't the right word. I don't know if they're mentally tough enough to beat Texas, to be honest with you.
At Texas.
I think there's an inferiority complex that's prevalent there with that program in general, and I think when you get them on the road in potentially a massive, well, I mean, it is going to be a massive game regardless, primetime 7:30 ABC. It's the last week of the regular season before the SEC championship in Atlanta, and there's a chance that both of these teams have a chance to punch their ticket.
We saw it last year. The winner of the game was going to Atlanta.
Yeah, Texas A&M's an auto fade in that game. Every single time they play it against, I don't care if they're playing ITT Tech or Chattahoochee Tech, I'm taking the other team other than Texas A&M in a big and a meaningful game. Sorry, not sorry. I like the team this year. I like the team a lot. I told you, I think they can go to the playoff. I like Marcel Reed. Love Mike Elko. Can't buy the fact that they're beating Texas on the road at DKR. Don't think they're going to do that. So I'm going to go fiction there.
All right. Was just curious your take on that, because I tend to agree with you on that. I also have some reservations about going to South Bend in week three.
Yeah.
I have some reservations about this team. You know, if you look at this, the stretch after the bye week, after the Notre Dame game, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, Florida at home, at Arkansas, at LSU.
That could get weird.
Could get weird. Now, granted, you have Auburn and Mississippi State to start things out, which is very advantageous for the Aggies. Right now, when I look at this team, I like them. I don't like them as much as others, but I do like them. I think there's a ceiling with Marcel Reed's passing ability, so I think there's a little bit of a ceiling on this offense. I do like the running backs. I like the running game. I just am not 100% sold on the between-the-ear stuff with this team as well. I am thinking that I just don't know if I can trust this team not to drop a game they're not supposed to.
Let me get out here and say this right now, and I'm a fan of the player to a certain degree. Marcel Reed has to be significantly better for this team to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish this
100%.
Season. Significantly better. And listen, he can do the little run gimmick, and yeah, he looks like a Lamar clone. Credit where it's due. He's shifty.
And in Colin Klein's offense, where there's so much quarterback run game,
yeah,
he's the better fit than Connor Wegman was.
100%.
I think that A&M made the right decision at kind of picking their quarterback and moving forward. I don't want to say they didn't. I just don't know from a passing standpoint if he and the personnel they have, because you remember, who was the most reliable wide receiver for Texas A&M last year? He's in Georgia now.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I'm looking on the outside. I don't hate the roster. I don't hate the roster. I like Concepcion, but he's a slot. Like,
so right.
Concepcion's not lining up one-on-one, going and dogging dudes on the outside. That's not his game. He's a quick twitch guy that wants to get in space with the ball and make plays. And he's electric when he has the ball. We saw that in Raleigh with the slant and go to the house. And, you know, Concepcion's a good player. Reed's a baby still, man. That's something that's also got to be accounted for in this, is this kid is young and inexperienced in comparison to a lot of his peers within this league. And again, I like Texas A&M. I've said that. I think they've got a decent chance of going to the playoff, even out of the SEC this year. But Marcel Reed, in his career to date, has started in, what, 6 total games as a college quarterback? And now he's carrying the starting quarterback load for the first time in his career throughout an offseason. Into this new season, he is the thrust into a leadership role for the first time in his career. And also, if we're just being completely honest about the reality of the situation, Reed kind of got the backup quarterback Kool-Aid last year. And what I mean by that is, you don't criticize the backup quarterback as hard as you criticize the starting quarterback. Everybody loves the backup quarterback. So when Reed messed up, it was like, he's a freshman and he's a running quarterback. And it's like, he's still better than Wegman and he's fun and he's great to watch play. Their expectations now. Like, he's got to grow up from a boy into a man this year for Texas A&M to accomplish what they want to accomplish. It's going to be a run-centric football team with Klein. We know that. QB run at a premium. Good running backs. Trenches are my number one buy with Texas A&M on the O-line and the D-line this year.
Absolutely. I don't have any argument against that.
But if they want to be this SEC contender, going to Atlanta, beating Texas on the road, Marcel Reed's got to be a top 5 quarterback in the SEC to make those goals accomplished next year for Texas A&M. So that's where I'm at on the Aggies. I think they can be really good. I think they can make the playoff. I don't think they're beating Texas.
But gosh, do I like that running back room of Le'Veon Moss, so Ruben good, Owens, and E.J. Smith. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to like in the running back room.
They're going
to
run that football.
A ton to like. Oh, absolutely. I don't disagree at all. I saw Walt's tweet out there say this is the 4th best running back room in the country. No disagreement there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not to the level of what Penn State's putting out there this year, but no, that is a great, great room.
And then you add a Concepcion that can be a gadget type of guy, and you potentially have, we know Klein likes to get creative, you could have a motion sweep of Concepcion coming across the middle.
Multiple times a game.
Marcel Reed with the ball, and then having him run a read option with Le'Veon Moss, and you just have 3 playmakers that are game changers and dynamite all over the field for Texas A&M. Like, I see the vision here. I need Reed to take that leap as a passer.
Run the triple.
Run the triple. I wouldn't be objected to it. They could probably run the triple darn near just as good as anybody else in the country could, John.
I think that they could.
Yeah, definitely. We've got some more fact or fiction to get to on the SEC front and continuing to work through our sheet.
You want an SEC one?
I want an SEC one.
Fact or fiction? Alabama misses the playoff.
Fact. I am fading Alabama this year. I took the Kool-Aid a little bit last year, John. I will admit, I took the Kool-Aid a little bit. I thought they would find a way to wiggle into the playoff. I thought Milroe would be good enough to get them into the playoff. That ended up an oil and water type of situation. And to be honest, I thought that Kalen DeBoer would do a better job developing Jalen Milroe as a passer. I thought that he would. Now, who is to blame for that? I don't know. I'm not in the building, right? I'm sure that Milroe didn't do everything perfectly. He was tipping plays at times, allegedly, towards the end of the season, especially against Michigan, where it looked like he was pretty evidently tipping plays. But DeBoer had an interesting year one in Tuscaloosa, and it's not often that a nine-win season gets framed as a complete and total failure, but for Alabama football, that's a failure. Let's not get that twisted. That is a failure of a season to miss the playoff, to get embarrassed in the bowl game as a massive favorite, even though you played all your starters. All of that is embarrassing, and all of that is a failure. So now what do you have? You got Caleb. I'm not going to say that his butt's getting warm, John. There is no room for error in Tuscaloosa. It's not warm yet. But if you miss the playoff once again, it could start to heat up on you in a real hurry, because I'll tell you right now, expanded playoffs and missing it back-to-back years at Alabama would be a terrible, terrible look to start your career there.
It would be tough. It would be very difficult to overcome. I think I'm leaning fact as well.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not leaning fact for the same reason Austin is, and we'll get to maybe some of his nonsense. I don't know if I have it in me this week. We may have to push that to next week if I can process any of this nonsense.
I'm closer to where Austin's at, but I'm not all the way there. I'm not all the way there.
So I think you would agree with me. We look at the Alabama schedule. Let's do a quick win game for the Tide.
Okay.
I think we feel good about them winning at Florida State. I feel good about them winning at Florida State. I am not buying this Florida State team this year.
Yeah, we'll give Alabama the win. We'll give Alabama the win.
Louisiana Monroe at home.
That's a winner.
Wisconsin at home.
Winner.
3-0, you've got the bye week. Then you go between the hedges. You're going to Athens to take on the Dogs.
You think Ty Simpson's built for that moment? Because I sure as heck don't.
Either him or Austin Mack, I don't think any of them are. I think they take the L there at Georgia. 3-1, hosting Vanderbilt. They're going to win that game.
They're going to win that game.
As much as being made about it, as embarrassing as the loss was last year.
If you lose that one full
season.
They're
going to win that game, yes.
Yeah. They have to win.
So 4-1 after Vanderbilt at Missouri.
That's a win. That's a win.
5-1 host Tennessee.
This schedule is so garbage. It's probably a win. That's probably a win.
At South Carolina.
Yeah, Sellers is getting his get back. Give me South Carolina.
All right, second loss of the year. Bye week, LSU at home.
Win. Brian Kelly, I'm not picking Brian Kelly against Alabama. I'm not picking Brian Kelly against DeBoer. I know DeBoer had a rough year last year for his standard. I view Kalen DeBoer in a much higher regard as a game day coach than I do Brian Kelly. Give me the Tide in that one, especially at home.
All right, Oklahoma at home.
Very close and competitive win.
Eastern Illinois.
Win.
At Auburn.
Loss.
9-3.
Yeah, that's where I'm
all at. All three losses on the road with Georgia, South Carolina, and Auburn.
That might get them in still is the problem.
I think a 9-3 Bama team, after all the to-do that was made last year of a 9-3 Bama team not getting in,
yeah,
that team would get in. I think they pick up another loss along the way. Whether that be to LSU or Tennessee or...
I think OU could get him again.
Maybe. I am still... I have a lot of coming around to do to fully buy into the 2025 version of the Oklahoma Sooners.
I get it. New coordinator, new quarterback.
A hot seat. You know, there's just a lot there right now. I am still... haven't fully wrapped my head around what to do with Oklahoma in the 25 season.
You're not singing Boomer Sooner yet.
Not yet, no. Not yet, no. So I tend to think this is a fact. I think that there's going to be a little bit more adversity here for the Tide in the DeBoer era that they have to try to bring it around.
Yeah. That's probably where I'm at on Alabama as well. I just, it's not a, listen, we can rip Castellanos, and we've done that enough this week. I think that maybe the most like overglossed part about that whole saga, and I know a lot of current student athletes that play on a lot of different P4s across the country right now. Alabama doesn't strike fear into people's hearts like they used to, John. I'm just telling you right now, that pendulum has already swung, and not having Nick Saban at the head of the snake, I don't want to say that the current crop of student athletes doesn't respect Alabama football. They just don't care. They are not intimidated by Alabama football like they used to be. And I don't know if that has anything to do with what the win-loss record ends up. But I do know that Alabama used to strike the fear of death into everyone's heart walking into Bryant-Denny Stadium. I just don't think that's the case anymore. I'm not saying that it's not some unbelievable venue, and I'm not saying that Alabama isn't good enough to potentially go to the playoff this year. But whether it's fair to DeBoer or not, because he's the guy following the GOAT, it's just not the same anymore.
Well, no, and I mean, Nick Saban also won at a historical, unprecedented clip.
Right.
There's going to be some coming back down to earth here.
Correct.
But I still don't want us to... I mean, I know we are in agreement maybe about them not making the playoff. I don't want to act like the fact that this team doesn't have talent, because
they still are
incredibly loaded.
And that schedule is weak in comparison to some of their SEC peers. They've got a pretty cushy schedule for SEC standards. I actually think it's just a pretty cushy schedule in general, to be honest with you. I don't think that's an overly difficult schedule. So they're more than capable of going to the playoff. After last year, I just have a sour taste in my mouth, man. I mean, the way that their fan base threw an absolute temper tantrum over the whole playoff thing, just for them to go out and get their butt kicked by Michigan as a 17-point favorite in a bowl game where you played the majority of your starters, like, that was embarrassing, John. And then to further that, losing to Oklahoma was equally as embarrassing. You looked pathetic. Like, they completely collapsed down the stretch last year. Final hour of the program coming up with Faxon and John here on The Roar. We're going to continue to talk college football, fact or fiction, and some NFL.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cal.